Do you have any ghost stories from your childhood? Anything you look back upon and go, yeah, that was spooky. I don't know what that was. Was that just my imagination or did that actually happen? Looking back on paranormal experiences or what we think may be paranormal experiences from an adult perspective back on the childhood versions of ourselves, it can be tricky sometimes. At times you can look back on it and go, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was just my imagination. And be very confident in that explanation. Other times, you can say, I'm pretty sure that was just my imagination. But you're doing it more so of a defense mechanism as to not have to accept the unexplainable activity in situations that you encountered at a very vulnerable point in your life. A point in your life where if you went and told an adult about some of the stuff that you experienced and saw, they may look at you like you're crazy and write you off as being a crazy child. Not that we need to do anything to help fix you, but just, oh, it's, you know, you're a kid, whatever, you know, go play. How many children's legitimate concerns have been dismissed with that phrase? Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear some very, very troubling stories of hauntings that are endured by children. And when looked back upon as adults and retold as adults, it's not looked back on as, oh, it's just my imagination. It's, no, this shit was real. In some cases, adults at the time of the childhood experience were able to confirm it because although they wanted to deny it, it happened to them too. In other cases, it's still out there. It's still just the memory of an adult recounting a childhood filled with spirits. We're going to hear about an adult that recounts a childhood home, or multiple homes, actually, where ghosts would follow him no matter where they went, house to house. Things kept happening, and probably not the same ghost either. Also, who is a strange shadow person that just shows up at a sleepover, starts watching over the kids? Just uninvited. Doesn't really do much else, but it's there. And a family summer home in England. A family that loves to travel, get around, and show their kids parts of the world that they otherwise wouldn't see. Trying to find a peaceful getaway for the summer turns out to be anything but in this 1840s home. Gets so bad, it forces them to spend the rest of the summer in a hotel because it's just like, no way, not going back there. Those stories and many more in this EPP bonus episode. EPP bonus episode number 249 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Kids are more sensitive to paranormal activity. I believe that. I do. I think we have ample evidence to support that theory. But how do you tell early on if it's just that childhood sensitivity that comes and goes for many, or if that individual, that child, has really an ability that's going to be there their entire life, one where it's beyond just the childhood sensitivity. It's one that, yeah, they got that and then some. I suppose sometimes only time will tell if that ability never goes away or if it amps up as they get older. In our next story, we hear about a child going from home to home as the family moves around to different parts of the country for various reasons. And it seems in almost every spot, they run into the undead. Take a listen. A I always seem to have ghosts around wherever I go. I spent the majority of my childhood in Syracuse, New York, in a house built in 1909 that I'm sure had to have been haunted. We moved there when I was 4, so I don't have much of a memory of starting out there. But over 9 years of living there, numerous events caused me to wonder if it is indeed haunted. I do remember hearing consistent footsteps in the attic that my parents dismissed as bats. But to this day, I'll not deny the footsteps were deliberate. Not the spastic sound of bats fluttering around. One of my clearest memories is being in bed in that house. I think it was around 8 or 9, and it was somewhere between 2 and 3 in the morning. I've always had insomnia, so I was wide awake. My sister was too. We shared a room and my tossing and turning eventually woke her up. We were whispering about things when we both heard the footsteps in the attic. By this time, I was more or less used to them, but nonetheless scared. As we lay frozen in our bed, the footsteps came down the attic steps. Our bedroom was next to the attic door, and the stairs were on the opposite side of the wall where our bunk bed was. So if we were in our room, we could always hear who was going into the attic. This was the first time the footsteps had even sounded on the stairs, so I was terrified. The attic door did not open, but the light from our nightlight illuminated the corner, and I could see our bedroom doorknob turning. It began turning back and forth, jiggling in the door. The movements became more violent, and eventually the door began to open and close quickly, opening only enough for us to see briefly into the hall. But there was nobody visible on the other side. By this time, my sister and I were crying out of terror, begging for whatever was at the door to stop. Despite being terrified, we began to recite the St. Michael prayer together, a prayer for protection against evil forces. As soon as we finished, the activity stopped. I feel now that whatever was on the other side of the door was more than just a ghost if it stopped as we prayed together. No activity like that ever happened again. My parents dismissed it as trucks going down the road, sending tremors through the old house. Among other things experienced at the house, I would hear unexplained voices I didn't recognize. Cabinets would open, and the hose outside would turn on for no reason. We also had a mirror at the end of the upstairs hall that I was scared of for no reason at all. One time, my fear had a reason. The mirror hung in such a way that you could not see yourself as you were coming up the stairs. One morning, I was climbing up the stairs to use the bathroom when I saw a face in the mirror. It was a man. I remember that he had curly blonde hair and a handlebar mustache, and his eyes were bugged out to the point where it looked unnatural and like his eyes would burst. It was so gross and disturbing that I ran downstairs. I moved from that house when I was 13, but I didn't seem to escape paranormal activity. I moved to Kentucky with my family, and while waiting for our house to close, we stayed at a guest house at a religious community. The community was built on old Shaker ground, and there's actually a museum and the remains of a Shaker village in that area. The guest house was the Shaker building itself. I remember one time I was in my room with the door closed. I shared my room with my little sister, and I saw a little girl duck behind my sister's bed. Thinking it was my sister, I got up and looked under the bed, but I didn't see anyone. The door remained closed. No one could have made that fast of a getaway. Years later, I got a book out from the library. It's all about ghosts of Kentucky. One story was about ghosts at the Shaker Village in Logan County, Kentucky, where I stayed. Apparently, a little Shaker girl who died of an illness like cholera or typhoid, I don't remember, apparently roams the property, playing games with people. I can guarantee it gave me chills to read that. That's going to wrap up the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 249 of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you're liking the show, and if you'd like to hear the rest of this episode packed with more awesome ghost stories from childhood, stuff that you go, I'm pretty damn sure that was a ghost. I'd like to think it was something else. Then become an EPP, an extra podcast person. You sign up to be one at ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up there, get access to the website. Or you can go through patreon.com/realghoststories. Same content, both places, two options for you. You sign up, get access to all of the stuff, 249 bonus episodes, and a new one every single week. Next week, there'll be 250. So you get access to that. You also get access to all the advanced episodes of the program as we get them made. So you get those weeks in advance. You get a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People, and more video content. There's a lot of great stuff. For $5 a month, you're supporting what you like. You're supporting this program. And we're paying you back with all sorts of great extras. So please do support the program. Get all the extras. Keep us on the air. It's a win-win for everybody. Get some great binge listening going on of ghost stories. Ghostpodcast.com. Go there, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Keep us alive. Check it out. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.